You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
The concept of divine forgiveness is deeply rooted in the Bible. Numerous passages emphasize God's merciful and forgiving nature. For example, Psalm 103 verses 12 states that, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us." Let us explore the virtue of forgiveness as it applies to divine forgiveness and human forgiveness. And we do have my pastor joining us once again on the line. Pastor Lubani, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Zanele. I'm fine. How are you too?
I am good, Mfundisi. I'm happy. You know this one? This one, Mfundisi. This one. Okay. I won't say a lot. This one. you know, forgiveness is a problem, ne? Not really a problem, but forgiveness is a challenge.
From a human point of view, yes.
So today, as we learn, I know it's going to be quite, it's going to be quite something else. But before we get into it, Pastor, I'm going to ask that you please pray for our listeners.
Let us pray. Loving Father, we would like to thank you once again for bringing us together to study your word, but also to share something about virtue and forgiveness and how this virtue of forgiveness can be made manifest in our day-to-day lives. So we pray, Father, that your spirit will guide us in understanding how much forgiveness we need and how far forgiveness can go. May you lead us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, virtue in forgiveness, but yeah, I get all of that. But what is forgiveness and why is it such an important expression?
Thank you so much, Zanele, for bringing this subject. First and foremost, the word forgiveness, when we try to understand it from a New Testament point of view, and now I'm talking about New Testament Greek, the word is aphemi or aphesis. And these two words have a very important meaning, because it means releasing, you know, a person, letting go. Okay? Now, if we try to come up with a statement or a sentence defining forgiveness, we can say that forgiveness is the wiping out of an offense from memory or even from a record. So this can be effected, you know, by the offender, by the offended.
Yeah.
But sometimes even the offender can ask for forgiveness. And what we understand is that once, you know, the offense has been eradicated, the offense no longer conditions the relationship between the offender and the one offended. There is harmony, or I can say harmony is restored. Now, here within this definition, we can say that the Bible stresses both human forgiveness, but also divine forgiveness. And I would like to be quick to say that human forgiveness has a horizontal aspect of forgiveness, while divine forgiveness has a vertical aspect. Okay? So there are two aspects, the human and the divine. Now, you've asked me the question to say, why is it important that we should have this expression among us as humans in our expression of virtue of forgiveness? I can give you several reasons why we need forgiveness. First and foremost, it is for our spiritual and religious well-being. You know, you can't say that you believe in God and then you don't forgive. I mean, it's something which is irreconcilable. If you are a child of God, you must be a forgiving person. You must have that virtue. Secondly, it also promotes emotional well-being. You know, we are talking of mental health these days. So it's important that we be forgiving. People must have this forgiveness because it promotes our emotional well-being. Forgiveness can contribute to that kind of a well-being, you know, because holding on to a grudge, you know, having anger or resentment can simply lead to stress, anxiety, and even other negative emotions can come. So there is spiritual point of view, but there is also an emotional point of view. But there is also a social aspect, because if we have the virtue of forgiveness, then it helps to build relationships.
Mm.
Forgiveness is crucial for building and maintaining healthy relationships. Mm. When we have conflict and disagreements, I mean, it is hard to interact with one another, even in the workplace, let alone the church itself. So you can see that forgiveness has different angles. There is the social angle, there is the physical angle, there is also a spiritual angle unto it.
Yeah. So looking at that, Pastor, you know, you, earlier on when we started, you did mention that is the human forgiveness, right? What of divine forgiveness? Are there conditions in that lead us to receiving divine forgiveness, or God just forgives us? Indeed, there's no condition that one must meet.
Definitely, there are conditions, Danele. Mm. There are conditions. God doesn't just forgive. Now, okay, on that one, I want us to make sure that when we're talking about conditions for receiving divine forgiveness, then it must be biblically grounded. Mm. Okay? Now, let me share with you a number of verses, just a few of them.
Mm.
2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Mm.
Now, let us break down this particular text, Zanelli.
Okay.
First and foremost, the Bible says humbling oneself, meaning to say this is the first condition. We must be humble enough to ask God for forgiveness.
Mm.
We need to swallow our pride. We need to swallow our ego in as far as seeking forgiveness is concerned.
Mm.
That's the first thing. Secondly, we need to pray. Okay? Humble yourself. And then the Bible says we need to pray and seek the face of the Lord.
Mm.
That's the second thing. The third thing the Bible says, and turn away from their wicked ways.
True.
You know, there is nothing like seeking forgiveness and then you still stick to your wicked ways.
Mm.
I mean, it's irreconcilable. How would you do that? Okay? So you will have to humble yourself, pray to the Lord seeking his face, and then turn from your wicked ways. And then the Bible says, and the Bible actually says, then I will hear from heaven.
Yes.
So you can humble yourself, you can pray, but if you don't turn away from your wicked ways,
you don't repent.
You see, so these are the conditions that are put, or that we get or extract from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. But it doesn't end there.
Mm.
1 John chapter 1, verse 9 also says, if we confess our sins, and this is a condition, meaning to say we have to confess. And what does confession mean? Confession means that we need to acknowledge our sins. We need to mention our sins by their right names.
Mm.
We need to acknowledge them. And the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. So there are these conditions. Okay.
Mm.
Now, these conditions, if you look at them, they are on the vertical aspect, seeking divine forgiveness. But you know what? We can't talk about divine forgiveness, conditions for divine forgiveness, without talking about human forgiveness.
Mm.
Because in the Lord's Prayer, Zanelli, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yes.
Meaning to say that human forgiveness and divine forgiveness come in the same package.
Mm.
That's why Jesus Christ had to say that whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass. Mark chapter 11, verse 25.
Mm.
So you can't talk about forgiving another person, I mean, asking God for forgiveness, when you're still keeping grudges on your side.
True.
It does not work that way. So the horizontal aspect goes together with the vertical aspect. Human forgiveness, divine forgiveness, they come hand in hand. Actually, forgiving one another is also one of the conditions for seeking for divine forgiveness.
Looking at that divine forgiveness, Mpundiswami, is that a way in which we ought to understand God's unconditional love by Him forgiving us? Does that mean that He really loves us without any conditions?
No, there are conditions.
Okay.
Actually, if we look at God's virtue of forgiveness, okay, it actually reflects His unconditional love. And if you ask me to say, now, where do we derive, you know, this unconditional love, this virtue of forgiveness? And I would be quick to say that God's virtue of forgiveness, which reflects His unconditional love, okay, comes from His own attributes. It comes from His own character. Okay? We say that God is love. We can derive out of that the idea that then God is forgiving. There are a number of circumstances. Let me give you a few examples, Anele.
Okay.
Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, Moses has asked God to reveal Himself or to show His glory to Moses. So it is Moses who is asking God. And God Himself says, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And God continues to say, but when I shall be passing before you, Moses, Exodus 33, verse 19, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. In other words, God is saying, I will proclaim my name to you. And God says, I will be gracious to whom I'm gracious and show compassion to whom I am compassionate.
Okay.
What does it mean? God is saying, in as far as I am concerned, I am forgiving. It is in my character to forgive. Meaning to say, God's unconditional love also comes with this in the same package with His forgiving spirit. That's why it is said in Psalms 103, verse 8, to say, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. God's virtue of forgiveness truly reflects His unconditional love. It is embedded in His character.
When we now bring it to us, Mfundisi, that part that I said is a bit challenging. When we bring it now to human beings, you know. Because sometimes, Pastor, we not really argue, but we reason together. I get it, the Bible said, let us reason together. You will reason together about the 70 times 7 when it comes to forgiveness. Because as human beings, it's something that we struggle with, you know. So are we really capable of true forgiveness towards each other? Us as human beings.
Your question is twofold. From a human point of view, let's admit that it is hard for humans to truly forgive each other. Let's admit it. And I can give you factors, but we're going to talk about that later. Now, for Jesus Christ to show us how hard it is for humans to forgive, Jesus Christ gave a parable. This is the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 8, verse 21 to 35. That the kingdom of God is like unto a man who wanted to settle all the debts that were unsettled. Now, one of the servants came, and this servant was actually owing his master thousands of talents. And the master said, no, sell his wife, sell his children, sell everything he has. But the man pleaded with the master, please forgive me. And then the master had compassion, had mercy upon this person, and he was forgiven. But the Bible says, when he was forgiven, on the way home, he met a friend who was owing him hundreds of talents, but he was forgiven tens of thousands. And he says to his friend, give me what you are owing me. And then a report went to the master to say, this servant you have forgiven, he is, you know, on the way, pushing, you know, pressing his fellow friend that he should give him back hundreds of talents he is owing. And then the master said, haven't I forgiven you so much? Can't you forgive? Can't you forgive these few, you know, talents? But this, Jesus is answering the question from Peter. Peter asks the Lord in Matthew 18:21 to say, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And then Jesus says, nah, it should be up to 70 times times seven, which is 490. Yeah. Now, there are people who ask, Zanele, you have already alluded to that. There are people who ask to say, what was Jesus trying to say?
Yes.
Now, let me give you, let me express it in very simple terms. What Jesus Christ was simply trying to say is that if he says you should forgive your brother up to 490 times, what Jesus Christ meant is that now you should begin to record, Zanele. I sin against you, you forgive me, and then you record it, or you don't record, you just keep it into memory. And then I forgive you. I sin against you, you forgive me the second time. What it means is that by the time it gets to 490, you will have forgotten how many times you have forgotten me. It means that forgiveness has to be there. It has to be embedded in our nature also.
Yeah.
If God is forgiving, we should also be forgiving at all times, and we should learn from him. Just as I've already said earlier, that God's forgiveness is embedded in his character. And if God says we should imitate him as dear children, then also, let's also imitate his virtue of forgiveness. And let it become so simple to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive.
Ah, Mfundisi, there is no simplicity here.
I can't disagree with you from a human perspective.
Yes.
But God is saying you are my children.
You know,
should be as forgiving as I am.
Yes, you know. And with that, Mfundisi, it's actually giving me to my, it's bringing me to my youngest question, Guti, like, you know, the importance of us forgiving, for cultivating a forgiving spirit, as you were saying, that it should be as an easy thing, but it's actually not. And also, I would also like you to touch on how we don't abuse that spirit of forgiveness. You know, I'm not saying we're not going to forgive, but there are certain people that when you forgive, now they deliberately do things that, because they know, shame, Zanele is forgiving that one. But I'm like, but, you know, so how then do we cultivate a forgiving spirit, but also not allow people to abuse that?
Yeah, you're right. Actually, some people think that being forgiving is a weakness. Actually, from a secular point of view, forgiving is taken as if it is a weakness. So that is very, very important. And I must be quick to say that there are actually factors that make people to be unforgiving. And some of these factors are also cultural, because in some cultures, it is believed that, you know, you must, you know, enact a revenge. But we are saying, let's cultivate a spirit of giving. How do we do that? And I strongly believe that there are a number of factors which can help us cultivate, you know, that spirit of forgiveness. That is, make sure that at all times we seek reconciliation. But that should not be taken as a weakness. But that is also not condoning sin. Because some people think that forgiving one another, you are condoning the mistake which they have made. And truly, they can take advantage of you. But as I've already put it, we must always, one, cultivate the spirit of forgiveness. Secondly, we must seek reconciliation. Now, when I talk about seeking reconciliation, it means that we are also seeking to redress the problem. Because in seeking reconciliation, you are not condemning the problem. You are mentioning it by its right name to say, this is wrong. And my brother, you must not do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay? So let's settle this matter head on. And by reconciling, you are solving the problem.
And as you're saying that, Mbundis, that we are solving the problem, most of the times, whether you look at it from a spiritual point of view or you look at a psychological point of view, whichever way, we're always taught, you know, that forgiving actually helps you, the victim, the one who has been hurt. You know, how does that actually work? Let's say someone is listening there and they don't quite get it. Like, hi, Bo, how does me for? But you are the one who hurt me. You know, how does that work? How forgiveness actually helps us, the victims?
Actually, to both the offender and the offended,
mm-hmm.
there are consequences that go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, let me give you a number of, points of views that shows that both the forgiver and the forgiven are liberated.
Mm-hmm.
First point is that when we forgive, we also cultivate an emotional well-being.
All right.
So you're going to see that forgiveness is linked with reduced stress. It is linked with reduced anxiety, reduced depression. It promotes emotional well-being by freeing individuals from the burden of resentment.
Mm.
Because if you don't, forgive one another, you are at a workplace, you tend to avoid one another. You can't go and have lunch together.
Mm.
Even when you have some work to do together. I mean, you cannot be efficient simply because there is this burden of resentment.
Mm.
So there is an emotional well-being if you forgive one another, first thing. Secondly, there is also improved relationships.
Mm.
Whenever you cultivate forgiveness, you enhance relationships by fostering empathy,
mm.
by fostering understanding, but also trust, which means that forgiveness contributes to healthier but also more positive social interactions. But it doesn't end there. Do you know that forgiveness also breaks the cycle of hurt? If you forgive, you break that cycle. You break the cycle of hurt. You break the cycle of revenge. You promote a more compassionate and harmonious society. But if you don't do that, then the vicious cycle continues. It goes on and on in our lives.
Mm.
So forgiveness really helps the offender, but also the offended in various ways.
Mm. Hi, we will try and fund this. That's all I can say.
No, you should not cry, but pray to the Father that you give us that spirit of forgiveness, you give us that courage to forgive, because it also demands courage.
Yes.
To say, I have forgiven you. And when we fail to forgive, we show that we are weaklings.
Mm. And Pastor, as we wrap up today's word, because the issue of forgiveness, like there's also that thing of, how do I forgive someone who's not asked for forgiveness? because most of the time, hey, people don't ask for forgiveness, but we ought to forgive them to release whatever, that is bothering us. But sometimes I'm like, let's not make sure. You must come back. So also if you can talk to us about that, Pastor, as we wrap up, how then do you forgive someone who's not forgiven you, who's not asked for forgiveness, let alone repent?
As I already said in the first place,
mm-hmm.
that from a biblical point of view, from a spiritual point of view, because we're discussing about these things from a Christian point of view, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see that here, biblically, as I already said in the beginning, this should always be effected by the one who has been offended.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example, when we read our Bibles in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says that while we were still sinners,
mm.
God forgave us. God redeemed us. Okay? Now, this is a very key text in as far as what we're talking about is concerned.
Mm.
So we need to make sure that we learn from it and always be proactive, taking an action that even though I have been offended, in this particular way, let me take off the burden off me, call the brother and say it clearly, to say, no, I have been offended in A, B, C, D, E, F, G ways.
Mm.
And my brother, I have forgiven you, but you need to consider your ways and seek forgiveness from the Lord. But I have forgiven you. So even though, as you have already put it, it is not easy. It's as if we are trying to trivialize or to make it so simple. It is not simple.
Mm.
But God is saying, learn from me. And if God is the one who has always initiated forgiveness, then we too must learn from God and initiate forgiveness where forgiveness is needed.
Mm.
Because when we forgive, we release our prisoners. Let me repeat that.
Yep.
When we forgive, we release our prisoners.
Mm.
If we don't forgive, we keep our prisoners within us and they eat us up physically, spiritually, socially, psychologically. They eat us up. So what I'm saying to our listeners is, let's release our prisoners, just as God has also released us from our own imprisonments of sin.
Pundits, on that note, please pray for us and also our listeners, that we may release our prisoners, because they're going to eat us up. And also understand, Mpundisi, and appreciate the whole concept of forgiveness, because yes, we do struggle with it. We do choke on it, but God, so that the Holy Spirit, you know, might help us to truly forgive.
Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your love and care, and we thank you for another wonderful discussion we have had today. My prayer for myself, Zanele, but also the listeners online, is that you will give us your own spirit of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That, Father, you can forgive us just as we have forgiven others. And I pray, Father, that may you give us that spirit of liberty, that we can release others from the same prison, imprisonment we have been released from you. And I pray, Father, that you be with us and lead us in our Christian walk, that this virtue of forgiveness can be a day-to-day aspect of our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. We're going to chat again tomorrow. Have yourself a blessed day.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.